Well, when you're good, rehearsal is highly overrated. So, only thing that would have made that better is if it had been a trio and some bass we know could have sung with you. I want you to read God's Word with me, Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to start with verse 3, I think. No, yeah, verse 4, it looks like, is what they have there. So we'll start with verse 4, Hebrews chapter 12. And if you're going to use the Pew Bible that's there in the rack by you, it's page 1107, and you'll be reading right where I am. Hebrews 12 and verse 4. In struggling against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not take the Lord's discipline lightly or faint when you are reproved by him, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and punishes every son he receives. Endure suffering as discipline. God is dealing with you as sons. For what son is there that a father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, which all receive, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had natural fathers discipline us, and we respected them. Shouldn't we submit even more to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time based on what seemed good to them, but he does it for our benefit so that we can share his holiness. No discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it yields the fruit of peace and righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Today we're going to talk about indispensable discipline. When I was about 10 years old, I learned a lesson because of an experience that I lived through that has stayed with me all of my life. In my family, as far as I knew when I was a small child, every Thursday we would go to Kroger to go grocery shopping for a family of nine and bring it home. And it was my job every Thursday night to take the frozen food from the bags in the kitchen out to the laundry room, where we also had a big chest freezer, and the water heater was out there. Now, this was back in the olden days, so that when you went through the line at Kroger, when you got to the end, they didn't ask you, do you want paper or plastic? All they asked you was, do you want... They didn't even ask you, did they? They just stuck it in a paper bag. So we brought it home, and that Thursday night, I took the frozen foods in the paper sacks out to the laundry room, opened the chest freezer, took everything out of the paper bags, put it into the freezer, shut the lid, and I left. And I had forgotten one lesson my dad had taught me. He said, don't leave the paper bags sitting by the water heater. Now, we had this old water heater, as far as I know. My dad had been working on it. It was one of those things that you had to kind of nurse along to make sure it worked all the time. And the front cover was off, so the flame was open to view at times, as I recall. And that next morning, I not only recalled it, it was drilled into my thinking forever. When my dad found those paper bags, one of them sitting close enough to the water heater, it didn't catch fire, but had been charred. It had been turned black just a little bit. And when my dad found that and called me out there, I remember the expression on his face. At first, it was anger, and then it was fear, and then it was anger. And he raised his hand like he was going to hit me, which my dad never did. And I thought for sure, for the first time, it was coming. And I saw the fear in his face again, and he put his hand down. And I learned the lesson that day, maybe a couple lessons. One was not to leave the paper bags there anymore, okay? But the main lesson I want to share with you today is this, that when you have a parent needing to discipline a child, sometimes that discipline floats somewhere between fear and anger, frustration and uncertainty. And when I looked in my dad's face, I could tell he did not know what was best to do to make sure that I would remember that lesson that I was supposed to learn. Now, we have that struggle with children. If you've ever raised children, you know that there are times when you wonder, what's the best discipline to get them to learn what they need to learn? How can we get the best results out of what we're doing with our children to make sure that they know what it is they're supposed to grasp? And we struggle at times with those decisions. Now, before you get real excited, I'm not going to give you the answer to those questions today. I just want you to experience with me that tension when it's time to discipline a child and we wrestle between what is best for them, what our anger might want to do, and somewhere in between there's got to be an answer that is necessary. And then let's apply the spiritual truth to that, because we have discovered, as I've been reading through the New Testament with you, that there are seven indispensables for life in the New Testament. And today we're talking about number six. We have talked about that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Without faith, you cannot please God. Without works, your faith is dead. Without holiness, no one will see God. And without love, we are nothing. And today I want you to realize this sixth indispensable, and it is this: without discipline, you are not God's child. Now, when we think about the word discipline, a lot of times we think about punishment. So let's see if we can figure out what does the word discipline actually mean. Now, this particular passage of Scripture I read is set in the context of suffering. The whole idea here, when the writer of Hebrews writes to his readers, he is talking about in chapter 12 the suffering, that Jesus died on the cross, he endured the shame of the cross, he went through the suffering of the cross because of the joy that was laid out before him, and he became the example for us in suffering. And he was writing to these early Christians, and they were thinking that what they were going through, the suffering that they were enduring, the trials that they were facing, were more than they could bear. They were unfair. They were not right that they should have to go through these kinds of struggles. And so the writer of Hebrews tells them, none of you have suffered to the point of death. None of you have been crucified. None of you have given your life. And yet, in chapter 11, just before this, he listed many of the Old Testament saints who had endured struggles and endured trials and tribulations, and they had to pay with their life because of that. And the writer of Hebrews tells these readers, you haven't suffered that much yet that you've given your life. And then in the midst of that, he tries to help them understand that their suffering, their struggles, their trials that they face, the things that they go through that are hard in life, are really a part of God's discipline of them as a child. So what does it mean to have discipline? Before we talk about what discipline really is, let me ask you a question. Because I like to make sure that I'm preaching in terms of reality. How many of you have ever learned something, experienced God deeper, grown closer to God, because of a trial or struggle that you have gone through? Anybody? Okay, to me it is one of the great Christian lessons that when we go through the struggles of life, rather than it driving us further away from God, our faith compels us to draw closer to God. And it is one of those things that people outside of the Christian faith do not understand. But what is discipline? When we think about discipline, most of the time you and I think about punishment. But discipline is not punishment. Actually, to punish a child is the last resort in terms of discipline. And yet in America, many times we are guilty of, as parents or maybe even grandparents, of running to the last resort as the first resort. But discipline does not mean punishment. It does not mean when God disciplines us that he is out to get us, that God is this God built up with wrath and anger so much against sin that when we step out of line, he is going to zap us. He is going to beat us. He is going to punish us in some way. That is not how God operates. And he uses the very word here of discipline, which means to chastise, to rebuke, to reproof. But it is more than God trying to punish us, because that's not really what his first step is with us. And when you and I go through the tragedies of life, perhaps we lose a child, or we have a terrible accident, or we go through an illness of some kind, or we lose a job. Just because we go through tragedies of life, not every one of those is something that God is trying to punish us for something we did. That's not how our God operates. So he does punish us at times, indeed. But not every tragedy of life is a punishment sent to us from God. And so when you hear some of the preachers that are very popular on TV, and they have their big events at arenas, and maybe they make a lot of money just because they teach something, it is not true that every time we sin, God brings us an illness, or he sends us a tragedy, he sends us a crisis. And it does not mean that every time we're involved in one of those tragedies or crises or problems, that it is because of our sin. Sometimes, yes, it is, but not always. And so let's stop equating tragedy and crisis and problems with God doesn't love us anymore, because the opposite of that really is true. When my daughter Stephanie was about 2.5 years old, it was the summer of her third year, Hillary had just been born, Stephanie did something, and I don't recall what it was, but I got upset with her. I might even say I was really angry at her. I don't really remember anymore what the situation was. But I took her into her bedroom and had her lay over the edge of her bed, and I began to spank her. And after two or three swats on her bottom, I stopped. Because I began to ask myself in that instance, why are you spanking her? Is it because you're angry? And indeed it was. Maybe it was something that she did made me afraid, and so I spanked her to learn a lesson. But I stopped in that moment, and it was that moment that I began to change how I thought about discipline. Because I began to realize that discipline is not just supposed to be some punishment that I dole out. I'm supposed to do something to teach my children how to learn the lesson that they need to learn. That's much more difficult as a parent. Think with me for a moment. When your child does something wrong, especially if they're little, isn't it easier just to swat them than it is to go through all the rigmarole it takes to teach them the lesson they need to learn? I discovered that it's much more difficult to be a disciplinarian than it is a person who puts out punishment. Now, the word that's translated here in the Bible for us, discipline, without discipline, we cannot be God's child. That word that's translated discipline is the word paida. It means training or instruction. God's purpose in discipline is to train and to educate us, not just to punish us. And he may use different means with different people, but his end result is always to be positive. How many teachers do we have here, currently or past teachers? Okay, would you agree with me that students learn in different ways? So even though you come up with your teaching plan, sometimes you have to alter it to make sure that you're communicating to some of those students that learn a little bit differently than others. Is that right? And the very same way, God uses different means to accomplish his purpose with us, to train us or to educate us. In an older child and the adult, when that word is applied in Scripture, it means to correct mistakes or to curb passions. So with a smaller child, we're trying to educate them, train them about the things that are right and things that are wrong, how to do things best. It's been put all over Facebook this last few days about someone saw a video about how to fold a fitted sheet. Anybody seen that on Facebook this week? Anybody on Facebook? Okay, a few of you. And I learned the lesson of how to fold a fitted sheet when I was in college. I was home for the weekend from college, and I went to the laundromat to do my laundry. I was one of those weird sons that didn't have his mother do his laundry because we had 9 kids, and the chances that I was going to get mine done by the end of the weekend were pretty remote, so I did it myself. Went to the laundromat, and there I met Mrs. Creekpalm, a friend of my mother's, lived down the street and around the corner from us. And I was trying to fold a fitted sheet, and it looked pretty lousy. So she came over and she said, let me show you how to do that. And she showed me the method of how to fold a fitted sheet. If you don't know how to do it, get on Facebook. Everything they put on Facebook is true. So I know you won't be led astray. The older child, the adult, that's you and me. This word is usually applied to correct mistakes and curb passions, to teach us. We use the same word in the phrase, and I don't know if you've used this in the South, but we do up north where the Yankees live. We say, that's the way I was raised. You're familiar with that phrase? That's the way I was raised. When you think about the way you were raised, you don't think about, that was the way I was punished. Those two things don't equate. But when you think about the way you were raised, you think about how you were taught, trained, educated, developed to be the kind of person you needed to be. And that is what that word really means. Discipline represents God developing our maturity. He is moving us along the pathway to be more like Jesus. So when we think about discipline, here's the two things you need to hold in juxtaposition. It is not just punishment, but it is training. It is not just hurting someone, but it is developing them. God is not out just to zap us with lightning. He is about nurturing us so that we will be raised to be more like Jesus. And that's what we mean by discipline. And without discipline, you are not God's child. The second thing I want to see in this passage is the dimensions of God's discipline. Now, I know that there are dads who would like to tell others that their children are perfect, and moms who would like to say at least one of their children always minds what she tells them to do. But if they told us that, they would be lying, because there are no perfect children. Well, other than yours, of course. When I was a paper boy as a young man, I would ride my bike through Sunset Hills, which was a subdivision in our area. And one of my customers' last name was Allen, A-L-L-E-N. And the Allens had a boy, I think his name was not Donald. And when I would drive by on my bicycle delivering the newspapers, Donald would always come out in the yard and throw rocks at me. And so I went home and I told my mom, you know, Donald Allen's throwing rocks at me when I do the newspaper. You don't ever want to set your mom loose on another mother. I mean, things happen, the sparks fly. So my mom called Mrs. Allen and told her that Donald was throwing rocks at me when I rode by. And Mrs. Allen said, oh, he wouldn't do that. He is a perfect child. Well, other than yours, the rest of the children in the world are not perfect. God does not have any perfect children either. Did you ever think about that? And the text here in Hebrews 12 tells us who may expect God's discipline. The Greek word that is used there to talk about this particular idea is the word metakos, and it means that we are sharers, or it is translated in many places partakers or participants. It means that all of us participate in the discipline from God. Every Christian is going to experience the discipline from God one time or another. And the reason is this: we all need it. And the crowd roared with excitement. Well, think about it. The younger Christian needs discipline, the gentle nudge of God, to encourage them to make progress in their spiritual growth. Otherwise, when you're an early believer and you're overwhelmed by the love of God, that He has forgiven me of sins and I am a new creature in Christ, you could sit back on your laurels and say, wow, this is awesome, I have been saved. Unfortunately, there are too many Christians who live their whole Christian life and the most exciting moment they ever had was the moment they were saved. And God intends for you to have a whole lot more exciting moments than that. That's just the beginning of what He anticipates for us. So sometimes God will discipline a young Christian to encourage him to get up and make some progress in his spiritual life, to become a disciple, a learner, a grower in his faith. An older Christian will feel God's hand of discipline at times, telling them to keep on. Now, I've not ever been as old as some of you. My wife tells me I should never say old people. The people don't like to hear that phrase. Maybe I'm not as old as you, as some of you. Maybe I can't talk plain. But here's my point. There are some people who get so old they think they're done growing. And God has to nudge them and say, hey, you ain't there yet, buddy. Keep on keeping on. Keep growing. Keep stretching. There are things that I must do to discipline you so that you will keep moving forward and becoming like Christ. And there, of course, is the rebellious Christian. They will feel God's heavy hand of discipline to cause them to turn back, to come back to Him, to turn away from their sin and come back to the Lord. So that God deals with us in different ways depending on where we are in our relationship with Him. But God does bring discipline on us. God disciplines pastors and He disciplines deacons. He disciplines teachers and He disciplines members. He disciplines the faithful and He disciplines those who are weak in faith. All are partakers, that word in the Greek, metakos. We are all sharers in God's discipline. So if you are being challenged, if you are going through a struggle, if you're facing a trial, do not lose heart in the face of God's rebuke or His affliction that He brings against you. Rather, we should search ourselves to see if there's any fault or failure that will hinder our spiritual growth. I will tell you that there are times when I agonize about our church, and I will get alone with God and I will say, Lord, is there something in my life that needs to change? When we face a trial, that ought to be the response. We go to God and say, God, this is a difficulty. This is a hardness. This is a struggle I'm facing. Are you trying to get my attention because there is something within me that you want to clean away or to sharpen or to change so that I will be more like Christ? Am I alone in this, or do other people experience this at times? Okay, so this is the reality of the Christian life. When we face a struggle, we need to go to God and plead with Him. Teach me the lesson quickly. Change me quickly. Help me to repent quickly so that I can move on with what you want to do, to discipline me, to educate me, to train me, to grow me, to be more like Christ. I will regret my whole life if I get to be an old man someday and I look back and I say, I am not any more like Christ today than I was the day I got saved. What a shame that would be. And if God needs to bring reproof, correction into my life at any moment so that that day when I face Him and He says, well done, good and faithful servant, I don't have to be ashamed that I didn't let Him grow and stretch and challenge me to become more like Christ. One of these days, hopefully, if I live long enough, when I least expect it, somebody will say, wow, He's like Jesus. Wouldn't that be awesome? A testimony to us. Well, let's talk about the third part of this, and that is the dividends of God's discipline. There are some benefits that come through God's discipline. And the first one is that discipline provides proof that you are God's child. Now, I know that you're not going to like this lesson, but it is a good one. If we're not disciplined by God, you know what it means? The Bible's pretty clear. It means we are illegitimate. We do not belong to Him. If you are not disciplined by God, then you are not God's child. Because without discipline, we cannot be God's child. If we are not disciplined, it means that we are not God's offspring. We have not been born into His family. It means we lack the privileges of being a part of a family and the protection of a father. If you do not get disciplined by God, maybe not continually, but regularly, then you are not God's child. Now, this is not the message that evangelists usually preach to win somebody to Christ. Come to Jesus, and you're going to be disciplined to the end of your life. It's not as popular a message as you might think, but it is the truth. And it is reassuring to us to know that when we are disciplined, when God reproves us, when he challenges us, he sends us through hard trials, that is assurance that we do belong to him, because he is trying to help us, to move us along to become more like Christ. Does that make sense to you? God has promised to discipline his children. And when you find yourself under the hand of God's discipline, you should be comforted to know that you are secure in your relationship with Christ. When he punishes us, when he disciplines us, when he teaches us and trains us and sends us through hard trials that we have to face and run back to him for help, when he does that, that is God's confirmation that we are his children and we belong to him. Now, the word that is used here in this passage is the word punish. And I'm sorry to tell you that I looked it up, because you're not going to like what it means. It means he whips us. He scourges us. He puts us through hard and rigorous training. Now, I have to tell you that, never mind. I don't have to tell you that, so I won't. God punishes us. He whips us. He scourges us, puts us through hard and rigorous training. There have been times in my life where God spanked the living daylights out of me to get my attention. I say it a little more poetically. I say he had to hit me in the head with a 2x4, but you all know what I mean, right? Because I was his child and I was straying too far away, God had to discipline me and bring me back. For me, on that occasion, it was because I was dating somebody who was totally wrong for me, and I was getting involved in things I shouldn't have gotten involved with. And one Sunday night in church, I stood up and I fell over in the pew in intense pain. God had stricken me with an infection that got my attention. And the end result was I got out of that relationship I was in. And there was more to the story, but that's the gist of it. There are times when God has spanked me, called me back, put pressure on me, hurt my feelings so that I would come back to him. And that proved to me that I was God's child. Because if I was not his child, he wouldn't have cared what I did. Through the years, Joyce and I have had a lot of people bring their children to us. And they do bad things. And I love them. But I don't discipline other people's children the same way I discipline mine, because my love for my children is greater. And God disciplines us. We respect our human parents when they discipline us. Even the Bible uses that illustration. So if we're going to respect our mom and dad when they discipline us, shouldn't we even more submit ourselves to God as a heavenly Father and let him discipline us, teach us, train us, nurture us? Instead of turning away from God, we need to turn toward God in obedience. One of the life lessons I have learned is whenever a Christian faces a trial, your faith will be revealed in that trial, because it will either push you away from God, indicating lack of faith, or you will draw closer to God, indicating growing faith. Every trial we face will do that. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into diverse temptations. That word is trials. Count it all joy, because it will reveal in you what your faith is, and it proves that we are God's child. There's a second dividend of discipline, and that is that discipline promotes perfection in your life. Take a good look at your husband. If he's not perfect, God needs to discipline him. And all the wives said, amen. Take a good look at your wife. If she's not perfect, God needs to discipline her. God's purpose is always positive in discipline. He's not trying to hurt us or put us down or show that he's the big dog and we're not. He is always trying to bring something about in us that is for our good. What is the verse? All things work together for good to them who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. What is his purpose? His purpose is for you to look like, act like, behave like, be like his dear son, Jesus. That's his purpose. And if you are called as his child according to his purpose, all things will work together for good in you. The positive for you. He wants you to be all that you can be. He wants you to have everything that he has to offer. But in order for him to do that, sometimes he must discipline us. And the Bible teaches us here that when he disciplines us, we share in his discipline, we also share in his holiness. In verse 11, it uses the word trained, and that word means to be made fit for competition. So when God is training us, he is preparing us to be ready for the competition of facing life. And those who submit, it says in that verse, to this training that God brings, receive a harvest of righteousness and peace. Now, every loving parent knows that a child needs discipline, and no child will ever reach maturity without a parent being faithful in disciplining the child. When I was a kid, I remember many times my mom saying, sit up in the chair. Don't slurp your milk. What else? I mean, a zillion things she could have said to me. You know, don't do that in public. I've told you the story about the time when Joyce and I went out with a family for dinner and their little boy Matthew belched really big. And his mother leaned over and says, Matthew, what do you say? And he said, good one. I'm not sure that was the response she was going for, but his dad thought it was hilarious. Okay? Children will not reach the age of maturity. They will not develop if a parent doesn't care enough to discipline them. And every Christian should take heart when God disciplines us because he cares enough about us to help move us along to be more like Christ. He uses discipline, the Bible says in this passage, to produce holiness in his people. And that is a job that is never done, so God never finishes disciplining us as his children. That's why I can confidently say, no matter how old you are, you still need God's discipline. You ain't like Jesus totally yet. That's what they would say up north, I guess. You ain't there yet. You haven't arrived yet. You still need discipline. If you understand that discipline's not punishment, but it's training, it's educating, it's nurturing you to become more like Christ. He disciplines us for a lifetime, and that is the sign of God's determined love. He is not done with us yet. He is moving us on, moving us closer, making us more like Christ. When we should worry is when God doesn't punish us. If you've gone for a long, long time and you've never faced the discipline of God, maybe there's something wrong in your relationship with him. Because the supreme punishment for a teacher with a student, for a parent with a child, and with God with us, the supreme punishment is when they get to the place and they say, I can no longer deal with you. You are not responding to discipline. And that is a hard place for a teacher to get. It is a horrible place for a parent to arrive. And for God to say, you're no longer my child, I cannot teach you, would be a terrible punishment for us to have to endure. Because the lesson is this, without discipline, you are not God's child. I came across a story recently about a football team, and this young man was writing about his experience, and I think I'm just going to read the story to you because it will say it better than I can. Here it is. I remember the pain and agony during the first weeks of football practice at college. Twice a day in full uniform, we exercised in 108-degree temperature. Every breath was a torture. We waited expectantly for even a wisp of air through our helmets while we were not permitted to remove them. Not allowed to drink, we sucked on wet towels and held slices of lemons between our teeth to soothe our dry throats. After a long siege of scrimmaging, hoping to be dismissed to the locker room, the whistle of the assistant coach would call us to the goal line. In groups, we raced 50 yards a dozen times. With the last of our energy expended, we would half stumble, exhausted, into the locker room. Although the room was normally lighted, we could not see because of the fatigue. We inhaled sections of cool oranges, shovered off the sweat and the fatigue, and collapsed on a dorm bunk, hardly capable of rising for dinner. We wanted to hang the coach from the flagpole by his thumbs. But he knew what he was doing. He had watched the films of the teams we would be playing. He knew every position, their strengths and weaknesses. He assessed our resources and potential and knew his only hope was in our depth, speed, timing, and endurance. From past experiences, he knew how much collegians could take. The season progressed, and we notched one victory after another. Finally, the championship was ours. Then came a New Year's Day bowl game, and that was ours too. Instead of hanging him by his thumbs from the flagpole, we carried the coach off the field on our shoulders. He had studied the game, and he knew the season. We were ready through discipline, and looking back on it, we loved it. Without discipline, we are not God's child. But how does a person become God's child? In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 10, 11, and 12, it says this: Jesus came to his own people, but his own people did not receive him. But to those who would receive him, he gave them the right to become, what's the word? The children of God. To those who would believe on his name. Born not of the will of man, nor of blood, but from God they were born. How do you become God's child? By believing in the name of Jesus. Now, unlike what most people think, being a Christian is not for the weak and the weary. It is for the tough and the hard. Because if you become God's child, he is going to discipline the evil right out of you so that you can become more and more like Jesus. Well, Heavenly Father, I'm not up for it, but bring it on, because God knows I want to be like Jesus. And without discipline, we are not his children. Let's pray. Father, we're talking, or I'm talking, rather bold and brash, because I know all of us, most of us, resent discipline. Unless you can screw our minds on straight and work in our hearts for us to receive your discipline as your love, we're not going to make it. When we go through the trials that we face, help us to run to you and ask, God, is there anything as my Father that you need to teach me, you need to change in me, that I need to repent of? Lord, have your way in me, and if it's through a trial or struggle or a suffering that I must learn the lesson, help me to learn it. Help me to pray, Heavenly Father, that I know that you're only thinking about my good and my betterment, and that you too want to be able to look at me someday and say, oh, he's like Jesus, she is like her Savior. Father, work your work in us, we pray, because we want to be your kids, and we rejoice in it. In Jesus' name we pray.